Begin the current daven itself. Ksuv b'daf tzadiches. Begin 7 lines down the top of the yamid, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf and of the previous mishnah, where the halacha was that a woman that's a widow is allowed to sell from her late husband's estate, according to one opinion, according to all opinions, for her mizaynus, according to one opinion, even for her ksuba out of bezdin, out of the courts. Now on that, the Gemara says that shalach li Rabba bereid Rav Rav Yosef. He asked him the following question. A woman that's selling her the late husband's estate, the land, for her needs, again, whether it's for ksuba, does she have to take an oath that she didn't collect more than what's coming to her? Or does she not need an oath? In other words, just like we let her sell out of the courts, in the courts, obviously the courts are taking care of the finances about the transactions. This that we allow her to do it out of the courts, is it even without an oath? Or does she at least have to take an oath that she didn't sell more than what her needs are? So on that he responded to the question, why ask just regarding an oath? Ask regarding something that's maybe more basic, which is making an announcement before the sales are done to make sure you get the most money for the sale, where you make an announcement, you wait 30 days, you wait a certain amount of time, people come, and then you get the most amount of buyers and bidders for the property, where even Bezdin, when something is sold in Bezdin, there's a necessity of having a chraz, an announcement, go out before that it's sold. Why don't you ask that? Maybe ask that an almana that's selling if she has to make this announcement or not. So Amalei, so the questioner, Rabba Breda Rabba said, Rabbi Yisrael, says, no, hachraz lekamim ba'ili, that didn't bother me. I didn't ask regarding making an announcement. The reason why I knew the answer to that question is because to Amreb Zerim Amrav Nachman, he said the following halacha. He said, almana sheshama la'atzma, a widow that evaluated in transactional purposes for herself. In other words, she actually took the field of the orphans for herself as an equivalent of evaluation for the amount that's owed for her in her ksuba. So on that, Reb Zera said, that's like you didn't do anything. You can't keep the field itself that you're taking from the orphans to collect your ksuba. That's not valid. So on that, he explained, hey, chidami, what was Reb Zera's case talking about? Ida achros, if the woman had made an announcement, there was public knowledge of this sale, how much she was evaluating the land at, that she's willing to sell it for. So then the question is, amaylo asav leklom, why would that be then the halacha, that she hasn't done anything, that it should be valid, that she herself should be allowed to, so to speak, buy the land and keep it herself? What do you mean? She's obviously not doing anything underhanded and underselling it, because she made a public announcement. Everyone knew the going price. Obviously, the halacha that Reb Zera was talking about must be talking that she didn't make any announcements. Oh, you didn't make any announcements. So So for herself, then it's like she didn't do anything. In other words, if the orphans later want to pay her out and give her money for the land that she had, so to speak, sold to herself, then they could go ahead and take it away because, wait a second, you went, no one knew about it, and you, so to speak, sold it to yourself. You probably took a who knows how much amount of land, and you so to speak, sold it for very cheap. So that must be the case that he's talking about, that he said that the woman to herself doesn't work. But halachr, masha, asa, but the inference could be, is that, however, for someone else, again, as we explained, there must be talking about a case where she didn't make an announcement, that is valid. So you see, that's why I didn't ask if a widow, if she has to do achraza or not, because obviously the inference from Reb Zera's halacha is that a woman does not have to make achraza, a public announcement, before she sells the fields of her late husband to be able to collect her ksuba. So on that, Rav Yisrael responded to Rabbi Bar Rava, says, what are you talking about? There's no raya from there. Lo'ilam the achraz, I could tell you, and therefore the question would still be appropriate, that really the case is talking about that the woman made an announcement that she's selling these fields. Ud'amrila, but still the orphans could tell her, Man Shamlech, who evaluated these fields for you? In other words, who sold it to you? Bezdin didn't sell it because you were selling it out of Bezdin. Neither did you purchase it from the orphans because you were the seller. So therefore, you can't sell it to yourself. There has to be two parties in the sale. And therefore, since you were the one that was supposed to sell it, you never sold it to anyone for it to ever come back to you, and therefore really essentially never left the domain of the orphans. And that's why the halach is going to be that lo'as l'klom. But the truth is that, however, if she evaluated it to someone else, where there then it leaves the domain of the orphans, that's because the sages gave the permission of sale to the widow. That's how she's allowed to sell to someone else. And then, yes, with achraza, then it's able to be a sale. But I could tell you that really someone with achraza, and still the woman is not able to sell to herself. Although you thought, why not? I'll tell you why not, because it never really left any domain of the orphans. As the Gemara illustrates this. Kihai, Rav Yisrael says like the following incident. There was a certain man that it was deposited by him, fodder, animal food, the yasmi of the orphans. Also shamala nafshe ba'arba me'ezuzi. So he went and he evaluated the value of that fodder for himself because he wanted to use it for 400 zuz. Now, Iyakr kam b'shisma, what happened was, it actually, the price was inflated and it went up in value to 600. So Asli kamed Ravami, came in from the Ravami. Amalei, he said to him, man shamloch, who evaluated? In other words, what that means is to say, who sold it to you? You were the one that the fodder was deposited by. You were watching it. Now, you sold it to yourself. You can't sell something to yourself. And therefore, you have to go ahead and give it to them. You can't keep now the inflated price of 600. Again, that's the same explanation that we'll give by the woman wife for herself. It doesn't work. But truthfully, what Rabbi Yisrael was saying is that you really could have asked your question by achraza too. Does an amana have to make achraza? And therefore, why are you asking just regarding shvua? Now, however, the Gemara concludes, v'ilchas ha-halacha is tzricha shvua, a woman that's selling her late husband's estate for the collection of her ksuba requires an oath. But ve'ina tzricha achraza, she does not have to make achraza, an announcement beforehand, and that's as he at Rabba Bar Rava had assumed, but was disproven of why his assumption was. But ultimately, you don't have to make achraza. Now the Gemara continues with the next mishnah, again continuing the theme of the previous mishnah regarding an almana, regarding a widow, where again it's told her collection from a late husband's estate. Shaisa ksuba samasayim. Let's say her ksuba was 200 zuz. Umachra, and as we explained previously, she's allowed to sell from a late husband's estate for the collection of her ksuba, but she sold shava mana b'masayim, something that was worth 100, she sold it for the worth of 200. Oy, or shava masayim b'mana, she sold something that was worth really 200, and she sold it just for 100. So in that the Mishnah says, niskablu ksubasa, she has received her ksuba, she's done, because we tell her that you caused the loss. Where you took something, you, although you tell us you only collected half your ksuba, but you took a piece of land that was worth 200 and you sold it for 100. That's your loss. It was worth 200. You're done with your ksuba. Now the Mishnah continues, Haysa ksubasa mana, if our ksuba was a mana, umachr shava mana v'dinner b'mana, and she sold something that was worth a mana and a dinner for a mana, so michr batal. So that sale is void, is invalid. The reason being is because that extra dinner, she had no permission to sell that because she was only supposed to collect the mana. Comes out that that sale was an error, although just for a small amount, but it doesn't make a difference what the margin of error is, it's still an error. And since it was done in one sale, the whole sale is bottle. And moreover, the Mishnah says, Afilihi Meris, even if she tells them, look, Achzer dinner liyarshin, I'll return the excess dinner to the inheritors. I'll even get that land back. I'll give the buyers back dinner, and I'll get that back. Mechir batal. The sale is a void, and that doesn't work. Shimon Lelemer, he argues. He says, Lo'ilo mechir kai. Truth is, no, that the sale is valid, and that she'll give back that dinner worth to the inheritors, because how did she cause them any loss? She didn't cause any loss. Who cares that originally was sold mana and dinner, but if she's able to get the dinner back, it's the rightful mana that's owed to her. However, he does agree, Asha Tehei Sham, until that there is going to be some type of a Oino, which means to say that a real loss for the Yarshin. For example, that there will be Kadesha Teshayir Besado Bas Tisha Kavan, that there will be left over in the field an area of 9 Kav, or even if the Oino itself was 9 Kav. In other words, if let's say there was 8 Kav left of field, and because she sold a month of a dinner worth, another kav was sold off to these buyers, which, because now that there was 9, and now that she sold more, there's only 8, thus causing a loss of a field of their ability to have a field of 9 kav. And or, as Rashi illustrates, another type of a case, if, let's say, the excess that was sold off itself was an area of 9 kav. So then the same thing would apply, that since the orphans had the ability of having an area of land in one spot, which would be the area of halachic field, which is 9 kavan, so they could tell her, we don't want that you should sell a field that's fit for us to be a field. And therefore, if it's going to be impacting an area of a field of non-kavan, and now because of the sale, they're not having that, then they could say that we don't. That's not a valid sale. But if the loss that was caused because of not only was a mana worth sold, but a mana and dinner worth, that then the impact had nothing to do with an area of a field anyway, then really she hasn't caused them a loss because a small strip of land is not relevant for people. So therefore, what Reb Shimon Lila is saying is that I don't agree to what the Chachamim are saying, that if it's just a month of a dinner, although it's not exactly, it doesn't make a difference, she could pay them back a dinner. However, if it's impacting because of that extra amount of field that was sold to these people, they're not going to have this area of 9 kav because a small little piece was sold extra, so now they don't have a full 9 kavan, of which is considered a halachic area of a field, which is a significant thing, that will create aino, meaning a type of a loss for the Yershin, and then he, Reb Shmuel, agrees that then the sale will be void. Ubegina, and regarding a garden, which has different measurements of considered halachic area, that's bas chatzin kav, that's if it impacts an area of a half a kav, again, which is the measurements of a garden. Whereas a Kadiv Rebbe Kiva, according to the opinion of Rebbe Kiva, where we understand from his opinion elsewhere in Masechet Baba Basra, then it's based roiva. Then he holds that's the measurement of a garden, which is a quarter. Again, basically that it has to impact an area of a full field, but if it's just a small amount, then Reb Shimon Lila argues and says that's not going to invalidate the sale. Now the Mishnah concludes, Hisuksubasa Abamei Zuz, if Harksuba was 400 Zuz. Now, Umachra Lazebamana, she sells a piece of one field to this person for a mana. Ulazebamana and this one for a mana. Now, Ula Achrin, the last person that she's supposed to sell for a mana, she sells Yafa mana v'dinna b'mana. She sells a piece of land that's worth a mana and a dinner for a mana. So, Shal Achrin Batasa. The Mishnah says, here only the last one will be invalid, but Vishal Kula Mechakayim, but all of them will be valid. In other words, all of them are sold mana b'mana, mana b'mana, so you have 300, you're up to the last 100. She takes something worth a mana and dinner, she sells it for a mana, that's the one that's the problematic. So that's the one that's void, but all the other ones will not be void. Now, the Gemara goes and asks on the first case of the Mishnah, where we said that if a woman has a field worth 200, her ksuba is 200, and she has either a field worth 200 and sells it for 100, or a field worth 100 and she sells it for 200, either way she's done. She's already considered collected all her 200. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, why? Maishna shava masayim b'mana, why is it any different as the Mishnah explained? When she sells a field worth 200 and she sells it for 100, then we said she's done, as we explained in the Mishnah, the Amrila Ataf Sadata, because they tell her, well, you caused the loss. Yes, you only collected half your ksuba, but you took a field that could have been the whole collection and you sold it for, you had a total loss over here. You have a half the amount, it's your loss. But then the question is, but you should say the same thing the other way around. Shava mana ben mesayim nami, then when she takes a field that's worth 100, and she, being very industrious, sells it for 200. Tema nar vachna, she should be able to say, I caused the gain. You didn't pay me up my whole ksuba. I took a field worth only 100. You only paid me 100. I made 200 off of it. I made another double that amount. So that should be my gain, just like you said, it's my loss. When I took 200, sold it for 100. After that, the Gemara answers that no. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbi Avua. He says, as we get on Tamid Beis, he says, Kan Shana Rabbi. Here in our Mishnah, this is where Rabbi's teaching us a specific halacha, which will answer the question. That Hakoil Labal Hamois. Everything goes to the owner who owns the money. In other words, if someone sends his messenger to the marketplace to purchase merchandise, and then he gets it at a cheaper price, those savings go to the one who owns the money. And the purchaser cannot say, what do you mean, I caused the gain. You gave me that money. I get to keep that excess because I just brokered a cheap deal. And that's exactly what Rebbe's teaching. When she caused a loss, well, definitely that's your loss. But when there's a gain, actually, the gain is going to be the orphans, the owners of the money of their field, and it's not going to go to the woman. Okay, time like we learned in the Braisa, which is brought at Tosefta Masechtas Demai, where there's actually Machlokes Tanoim on this halachic topic. And the conclusion of this discussion, as the Gemara will illustrate, is that by a product which doesn't have a set amount, according to Rabbi Yossi, which is what Rebbe is saying anonymously in our Mishnah, like Rabbi Yossi, he says, Hakoy Labalamois, the savings go to the owner of the money, meaning the one who sent the messenger. Because our Mishnah is also talking about something that doesn't have a set amount, because every land is sold based on relativity, sometimes more, sometimes less. It doesn't have a set amount. So it's considered something dovish in likitzva, and therefore, that's what Rebbe's telling us by saying that if she takes something worth 100 and sells it for 200, that the gain is not hers, but rather the gain is going to be to the Baal HaMois, and that's why she can't say Anar Bach, and then she's done with her ksuba. And as we learned in the Braisa says, Hisifulo achas yisef. Let's say somebody sends a purchaser to the marketplace to buy something, and then they give him one extra. So, Hakol l'shliach to Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda says, that goes to the messenger. That's a bonus that the seller was giving to him. It's not, has nothing to do with to the owner of the money, and he gets to keep it. Rebbe Yisrael Machalkin, he says, no, we split it between the messenger and between the owner of the money. Now, first the Gemara asks, but Vatan, you learn the Braisa, Rebbe Yisrael, he says, Hakol l'balamois. How could he say you split it when another Braisa, he says, that when there's excess, there's savings that was done by the sale, it all goes to the owner of the money. So on that, Amir Rama Bachami says, like Kasha, it's not a contradiction. Because Khan, in the first Braisa where he says that it's split, is B'davar Shiyesh Lekitzva. It's talking about something that has a set amount. For example, legumes, kidneys, which are sold in the stores with a specific measurement, in other words, a full cup of kidneys, are sold for a pruta. Now therefore, if they add on one more, so that gets split between the shliach and the mishaleach, because that's obviously a gift. And therefore, you could say that maybe the gift was done for the shliach, because they liked the purchaser. Or it could be that it was given to the one who's giving the money, which is the Baal HaMois. We don't know who it is. And that's why, B'davar Shiyesh Lekitzva, which is obviously a gift, because we know how much it's sold for. If you're giving one more, they're just giving that favor, so that gets split. Khan, but in the second brisa, was B'davar Shein Lekitzva, was talking about something that doesn't have a set amount. For example, a cloak, or a shirt, or vegetables, which are sold evaluated relative to the market. So sometimes a person says, okay, you know what, I'll give you a cheap price. Sometimes they say, no, I want to get exactly how much money I want to get. So therefore, it goes all of it to the Baal HaMois, to the one who owns the money, because there's no gifting over here. It's just deciding how much should the sale be. So if they give more, it just means to say that it's giving a cheaper price. And if it's giving a cheaper price, because we're talking about something like land or something that just you charge more, charge less, that's just evaluating and qualifying the sale. So that's definitely the Baal HaMois, who it's his money that's making the purchase, nothing to do with the shliach. And therefore, that's the understanding of that resolution. And therefore, that's what Rebbe's saying in our Mishnah too, where we're talking about Davar Shein Lekitzva, and he says that if she took something worth 100 and sold it for 200, it's Hakol Baal HaMois. Now, Amar Papa, he says, Hilchos Halacha is, Davar Shiyesh Lekitzva Chalkin, as we just said, something that has a set amount gets split between the shliach and the mishaleach. Davar Shein Lekitzva Hakol Baal HaMois, something that doesn't have a set amount, all of it goes to the owner of the money. So he wants my kamashulon, we just said that. That the Gemara says, Shinui Dishaninan Shinuyihu, which our Papa is coming to tell us, is that the answer that we gave is a good answer. It's not just a Daichik type of a teretz, it's a good resolution. Therefore, that's what the halacha is. Now, related, the Gemara says, Ibailu, that the following question. Amar Le, if somebody tells his messenger, Zabain Li, I want you to sell from my fields, Lischa, which is an area of a half a kor. The Oslo was Zabin Lekor, and instead of selling a half a kor, he sold a full, a whole kor. My wasalach, as the Gemara explains the question. Meisiv al Devarvu, is he considered having fulfilled the mission, just having increased and sold more than he was asked to do? Therefore, Velischa Miyakani, and therefore, a half a kor should be considered having been purchased by the purchaser, by that. In other words, it is a valid sale. And therefore, if the owner wants to retract, he can't retract, meaning because the first half is valid. It's just that he added on. So that addition is incorrect. But at least half of it, which is what he had sent him to do, is valid. Oy Dilmar, maybe no. Mavra al Devaravu. You transgressed, you violated the mission that was sent. And therefore, even that half of Kor is not even sold. It wasn't acquired by the Lekeb because that wasn't a valid sale. So Amr Biakov Minahar Pakoid Mishmed Ravin, he says, Toshma, it's being arrived from the Mishnah Masechtas Me'ila. The Mishnah says as follows. Amar Baal HaBayis L'Shluchai. If a homeowner tells his messenger, Ten lem chatich la'archin, we have guests. Give them each a piece of meat that I have in that pot. Vu Eimer, Tlush Taim, what ended up being is that actually the messenger, whoever he was, told the guest, you know, each of you could take two pieces of meat. And the hein not l'shalosh, and actually what ended up happening was that actually each of them ended up taking three pieces of meat themselves. And ended up turning out that that pot of meat was actually meat of kadshim, which is forbidden for people to have anah from. And if they do, they're obligated in the chiyuv of me'ila, which is certain halachas of karbonis and penalties for someone having had pleasure from kadshim. So on that, the Mishnah says, kulan malu. Every single one of those parties has committed me'ila, treason against Hekdesh, the balabais, and which is for the one that he had told them to eat, the messenger who he had added on the second one, and the guest who they took by themselves, the third piece. So on that, the Gemara says, Iyamid Bishlam and Maitzabad the Barbhava, if you say that when the messenger doesn't do like he was told, he does more than what he was told, that however he's considered adding on, but what he was supposed to do, which is half of that he did. So Mishamachi Balabai Small. That's why we could understand why the homeowner is considered having violated, because of him having sent the shliach to have at least one of them being taken out from Hekdesh Tachun by the consumption of the gas. But if you say that when the messenger doesn't do exactly like the homeowner had told him, even if he does more, that's considered having violated, and then it's like the homeowner didn't do anything, it's undone. So balabais am I mal. So then why would the balabais have been considered guilty of me'ila? But that's not, we learned over there in the Mishnah Maseches Me'ila, that says, Hashliach sh'asa shlichusay. When the messenger does as he was told, then balabais am mal. Although generally we don't say, in the case of me'ila, then it's considered as if the one who sent him did me'ila. Lo y'asa shlichusay. If he didn't do his shlichus, then only shliach mal. Only the messenger has done me'ila. So obviously you see from here that it's meisav al devarv. And therefore, it is considered like he did his shlichus, because if not, then he wouldn't be chayv the Baal Bayis Me'ila, which you're saying all three parties are chayv Me'ila. I think Gemara says, no, it's not a right. Because halacha ma'aseinu, what are we talking about over here in this case? Is the amalahu, what did the shliach end up telling the guests? He told them, tulu achas midaita shel Baal Bayis. Look, guys, you can take one piece of meat because the homeowner said you could take one piece of meat. And by saying that part of the sentence, that is the end, and he fulfilled the shlichus of the balabais. That's where the balabais chayv me'ila. But then he said more. He says, look, v'achas midaiti, don't worry. One, I'll give you my own. You could take from that pot of meat. V'shakla inu plas. And then they took by themselves a third piece of meat. Therefore, each one of those parties is a chayv me'ila, because actually he did fulfill the shlichus of the balabais. But had he added on without having said it the way it was quoted in the Gemara's Teretz, maybe actually that it would not be k'meis v'adavarv, and rather like ma v'adavarv, and then the balabais maybe would not be Avraham Me'ila. So there, but there's no raya. The Gemara continues trying to bring a raya. Toshima, it's being a raya from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, if the woman's ksuba was a mana, umachar shava mana b'dinner, and she sold a piece of land from a late husband's estate worth a mana and a dinner, b'mana, for a mana. So we said in the Mishnah, machar batal. So that's a mekach tois. It's an error in the sale. It's worth a mana and a dinner. She sold it for a mana. And therefore, that's not valid. So on that, the Gemara says, my lav, what is the Mishnah saying in this halacha? Isn't it talking about dizavin shava man of a dinner, b'man of a dinner? The way the Gemara interprets it in its trying to bring a proof for this question says, what does it mean she sold man of a dinner for a mana? It means to say she took a piece of land that was worth a mana and dinner, and she sold it for a mana and a dinner. And that is, in the piece of land itself, there was no error. Now, umay b'mana, what does the Mishnah mean then, that she sold it for a mana? It means mana shalah. In other words, her ksuba is worth only a mana. So she's selling the land so that she can get cash of a mana. So she sold a piece of land that's worth a mana and dinner for a mana and a dinner, but for the collection of just a mana. Now, umay afila, then what does the Mishnah mean when it adds on the words that afila here merits, even if she says, don't worry, achzer dinner liyarshav, that don't worry, I'll give back that excess dinner to the inheritors. Of course, obviously, it's the orphans. She can't leave it like that. Of course, she has to give them back a dinner. What's afila? So it means to say afila here merits, even if she says, achzer es a dinner liyarshav medinu mikarkoi, of course she has to give them back. She has no rights to sell more than how much her ksuba is worth. She says that, no, what I mean to say, I'll even go and take the extra dinner that I'm making on the sale, I'll go back to the buyers, and I'll buy back that excess piece of land for the worth of the dinner, and I'll give them back actual land so they won't be losing anything, not even the dinner worth in land. And yet still we learned in the Mishnah Begatani Michra Batal, the sale is batal. Now why is that? Isn't that exactly Moisav al-Davarv? Within the rights that she has as a shliach of the Yershim, to be able to sell the land for her ksuba is for a mana. Now she sold the mana with an addition of a dinner. And she's actually even getting them back that dinner, that in land that she sold from them. And still we say Michra Batal. Obviously when someone adds on as a shliach, it's not just Moisav al-Davarv, and therefore it would be like the shlichas would be valid. Rather, it's like Kemavar al-Davarv, and therefore the whole thing's void. So the Gemara says, no. I'm Rav Huna Bered Rav Nasan. It says, like, it's talking about actually Bid'ezel, when she sold it, she undersold it. In other words, the reason why the sale is batal is because she made a mistake. She sold a piece of land worth a mana and a dinner for a mana. That's what the Mishnah means to say. When it says she had a ksuba worth a mana, and she took something mana of a dinner and sold it for a mana, it doesn't mean like the Gemara had thought in its Havamina that she sold it for mana, meaning for what was owed to her as a mana. No, she actually sold the piece of land worth a mana of a dinner, and she sold it just for a mana. So she got everything that she needed, but she caused, it was an error in the sale itself, and that's why the mechir is batal. But it's no right to the question that we're discussing, if she had sold it for a month of a dinner, which was just adding on to that, to what the shlichas was, maybe the halacha wouldn't be kamav adavar, maybe it'd be kamais adavar, and it would be valid, and then she could give that excess dinner, which was sold for, and maybe even karkoi, and give it back to the yarshim. Now, on that, the Gemara continues the Tabat Tzadik Testament off and asks, wait a second, Hamid the Sefer with the Eizel, if from the end of the Mishnah we know this halacha concept of underselling, so have a resha, obviously then the resha, which is what we're discussing now, which is when she sells something, mana of a dinner for a mana, must be talking about b'deloy yozel, that she didn't undersell, because why do we need two halachas in the same Mishnah to tell us this halacha concept of when a woman undersells, that's batal? Because the Tani Sefer learned at the end of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, his ksubasa arba meyezuz, it says if her ksuba was worth 400 zuz, and machur lezebemana, u lezebemana, and then she started selling off pieces of land. One, she got one mana, another one, she got another 100. Now, ula achron, when she's up to the last one, which is for 100, she sold yafa mana v'dinna b'mana. She sold a piece of land that was worth a mana and a dinner for a mana. So on that, the Mishnah concluded, shal achron mecher batal. So the last one, the sale is void. But v'shal kula mecher kaim, but all of them, they're valid because they were good. Last one, you owed only mana, and you sell it for a mana and a dinner. And the mana and dinner worth of land, you sell for a mana. And because we're trying to explain in the Mishnah that there's no rayas to saying that if you're selling it for the same amount, but you were moisav a maver, that we said that's not raya. We're talking about underselling. So if you're underselling, why do we need two halachas saying the same concept? So it must be the rashi is talking about that you didn't undersell, but rather, as the Gemara thought in its Havamina, that you took something worth a mana and a dinner, and you sold it for a mana and a dinner, and we're saying that moisav al-davarv is kamav al-davarv, and therefore the shlichas is batal. So that should answer our question. Now the Gemara says, like, no. Reisha b'seifa b'da'ezel, truthfully we could say, is that the Reisha and the Seifa are both saying the same concept when she undersells. B'seifa ha'kamashmon, so what's the Seifa teaching us? Taima d'ezel b'da'yasmi, it's telling us that because when she undersold, she was underselling the properties of the orphan. In other words, she's not owed any more money. That means to say the last sale that she's making, when she's owed only a mana, and she sold something worth a mana and a dinner for just a mana, who's getting that loss of the dinner? Oh, it's the orphans. But that's the inference that the end of the Mishnah is coming to teach us. But if the loss was regarding herself, for example, let's say we're talking about four fields that she sold, each for a mana. Let's say one of the first fields that she sold, and there she made the mistake, because that is a loss to her, because she still has more money to collect than the ksuba. If she made a mistake and she sold a piece of land worth a mana and a dinner for just a mana, that will come to teach us that mecher kayim. It's the inference of the Sefer that teaching us that then that will be a valid sale because A, there's no oinah by karkais, and definitely there's not going to be halacha b'shtus. In other words, it doesn't make a difference that she sold something which is worth an extra dinner for less for just a mana. The sale of the karka is always going to be good. And therefore, that loss will be hers. That's a valid sale. That's what we're coming to teach you, that's going to be okay. And that's why we're saying it, the extra case of the Sefer, they say, oh, only when the loss of the extra dinner is the last field, which is the loss for the Yisayimim, but if some of the first ones, then the Mechel will be kind. Now, that the Gemara asks, But from the Reisha of the Mishnah, we already know this concept. The Mishnah said, if our ksuba was 200, and she sold a field worth a mana for 200, or if she took a field worth 200, and she sold it for half, for a mana. We already said this concept of niskabla ksubasa, she has received her ksuba, she's done. What that obviously means to say is that her sale is not batal, and then it's considered a valid sale. Which already tells us that there's no ayinu b'karkois, and that when it comes to herself, it's not a mecher batal. So why do we need an inference of the sefer to tell us that? And then the Gemara says, no, we do need that. Because ma'ad detema, we would have thought to say, if we only had the halacha from the Reisha, hasam over there by the first sale, who the istalkala mehai basal agamri, by the case of the Reisha, when she sold the field worth 200 for 100, that we said it's a valid sale, that's because she has received now, because it's a field worth 200, although she only got 100 out of it, she's done. She has nothing to do anymore with the orphans, with her ksuba. And therefore, we would say that, okay, there's no reason to make any gzeris applicable to that. But here regarding the case of the seifa, we're regarding the first fields that she's selling off for her ksuba worth 400. She's not done yet anymore if she, let's say, sells one of the first fields that's worth a manam and a dinner for a mana. Maybe nigzum on the rishon, we would say that maybe you should make a decree that we should be concerned if we allowed this to go through. If she makes a mistake by one of the first manas, that instead of selling it for a mana and dinner, she sells it for a mana, then maybe it should be bottle. Why? She's taking the loss. Atu mana achren, because then we might come to say that, oh, that's okay. When she sells a field worth a mana and a dinner for just a mana, we've seen that she's done that, and the bezin said it's okay. But then we might come to make a mistake and then even do it by the last time she's selling, which is a problem, because then that's a loss for the Yisayim, not for her, and that is a mecher batal. So kamash malan, that is what the Sefer, the Mishnah, is teaching us, that no, in spite of that, it's only if she makes a mistake by the last mana, then we say mecher batal. But if it's one of the first manas, then the mechira will be kaima. We're not concerned to say that if we allow it there, then we might come to allow it by the last mana too. And therefore, that's Rav Huna's refutation, and he says there's no raya from our Mishnah regarding the question if a shliach does more than what he was sent for, if that's ken meisav al davar or kamam al davar, because our Mishnah is not talking about a case of meisav al davar. The halacha of mana of a dinner that was sold for a mana is not talking about that for what she needs of a mana. The definition of those words in the Mishnah is that she actually sold it for a price of a mana. And for underselling, that's a mecha batal, and that's why the mecha is batal, but not because she was meisav al davar as a shliach.